One of the people that General Garner identified today as key players in Iraq's reconstruction is Ahmed Chalabi. Mr. Chalabi is already one of the most controversial people in post-war Iraq. He's the leader of the formerly exiled opposition group, the Iraqi National Congress, and he's been promoted by Vice President Dick Cheney as the man who could lead Iraq toward democracy. But as an article in this week's Newsweek puts it, the greatest burden Chalabi bears continues to be the widely repeated allegation that he's a crook. Christopher Dickey co-wrote that article, and he joins us now. It seems every profile we read of Ahmed Chalabi makes reference to the fact that he was convicted in absentia in Jordan for fraud, and that he denies any wrongdoing. Could you take us back to the beginning of the story? What exactly was Mr. Chalabi's business in Jordan?
Ahmed Chalabi was a banker. His family in Iraq always mixed business and politics, dating back at least to the 1920s. When they went into exile as a result of the coup in 58, they set up other financial institutions in Europe and in the Middle East. In Ahmed's case, he came to Jordan in 1977 and set up something called Petra Bank, which went from being a non-existent bank to the second largest bank in the country in the course of 10 years. But by 1988 or so, the Chalabi banking empire was in deep, deep trouble. And starting in the spring of 1989, the banks just started to topple one after another in a kind of a domino effect. Ahmed says that all this was a result of a conspiracy by Saddam Hussein, but the documents that Newsweek's acquired over the last few weeks show that it was actually the result mainly of bad banking practices and an awful lot of unsecured loans, many of them from one Chalabi bank to another Chalabi bank to individual Chalabis, to Chalabi companies, sort of a shell game moving money all over the world.
Well, getting back to Jordan, a lot of that money also moved to many senior Jordanian officials. He made a practice to provide loans to top political and military leaders. In hindsight, is this seen as simply a banker exercising good business practice, or was this patronage?
He thought he was buying protection and access within the kingdom. He was giving money or giving very easy loans to members of the secret police, to minor princes, to people in the government, to ministers. He was spreading money all over the place, and he thought that he had bought himself a unique position in the kingdom, and certainly he thought he'd bought himself protection with all that.
All of this came to a head when Mr. Chalabi was convicted of bank fraud and embezzlement. Could you just explain for us those charges?
Well, there are some 60 counts that were brought by the Jordanians against Chalabi, from relatively minor infractions to incidents involving several tens of millions of dollars. Eventually, he was convicted. At the time that he fled the country, however, was only about 7 days after his bank was seized in 1989. August 2nd, 1989 is when it was seized. And so he was tried in absentia, and he would say was never really able to represent himself fairly at that trial. However, he has been given the chance to represent himself fairly at trial since then, but Ahmed chose not to do that.
But why wouldn't he do that now? I mean, now that he's assuming this substantive role in the world stage, why not go back and clear his name?
Well, he may try and do that at some point. I think he would argue that he still wouldn't be able to get a fair trial in Jordan, that people there are entirely prejudiced against him. And, you know, he probably is right about that. But on the substantive question of moving money around, unsecured loans, lots of unsecured loans, he would be hard-pressed to put up a defense that would get him off scot-free.
Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you.
Christopher Dickey is with Newsweek magazine.